Our next speaker is one of our most familiar public figures. For 20 years he worked at News at 10 and presented the news on ITN, and for over a decade he was presenter on Classic FM. He's a world expert on Beethoven. He's here to talk about his new book, In Search of Beethoven, A Personal Journey. So it seems extraordinary that this public figure tweeted earlier this week saying that this lunch filled him with dread. Ladies and gentlemen, John Suchet.
Thank you very much, Harry. The reason it filled me with dread was that the last literary lunch I spoke at, which is going back about 25 years or so now, I followed the Australian humorist writer, Kathy Lett, who spoke about how her latest book on how to murder your husband or something like that. And she spoke for 10 minutes so wittily, so incisively, so rudely and so naughtily. The audience just loved it. And I can remember to this day her closing line, which was, "And so, ladies, if you want a peaceful life, next time you give birth and your gynecologist says, I'm just going to put a couple of stitches in, tell him to keep going." The publisher got to his feet, cheeks tinged with pink. "Thank you, Kathy, that was hilarious. Now to talk about Beethoven, here's John Suchet." That is why I dreaded this talk, because there aren't too many laughs in Beethoven. Mind you, what is there still to say about the great deaf one? There was a taxi driver who took me to the local theatre in Inverness some time ago now to give my talk, and he said to me as we were driving there, I can't do the accent very well, "Who are you giving a talk about then?" And I said, Beethoven? Oh, aye. And he went quiet, and after a couple of minutes, sitting behind him, it was as if I saw the light bulb go on in his head. "Beethoven, I know him. He's the one who cut his ear off." Close. Even my little granddaughter, Annie, when she was 5 or 6, she said to me, "Grandad, why do you keep writing books about a dog?" And I do keep writing books about him, but this one, my 8th, is very different to all the others. It is not a biography of Beethoven. It is the story of Beethoven and me. And it was born in a little garden of a cottage just outside Vienna, in the village of Heiligenstadt, where Beethoven wrote his last will and testament at the age of 31 3/4, when he realized he was losing his hearing, and no matter what the doctor said, the hearing was not going ever to improve. And we sat in the garden, I was with my wife Nuala, who's sitting here now, telling her the story of how in this cottage he confronted his deafness and he overcame it, blah, blah, blah. And she said, "You've got to write this down." I said, "I already have several times." She said, "No, make it more personal. I want to know about you and Beethoven. How did he come into your life? Why are you so passionate?" You won't know how many times in my professional career I said, "Well, I'm sorry, we've got a problem with the sound on that report. We'll just move on to the next story." That's better. Wish I could have done that on the television. Anyway, she said, "You've got to write this down." And I said, "Well, it might make 20 pages or so." But when I began, I couldn't stop. And I said to her, "We must go to Bonn and we must come back again to Vienna." Bonn, where he spent the first 22 years of his life. And we went, and I would love to tell you the story of how I very nearly found the church that Beethoven was baptized in, where his parents were married, where he played the organ at Sunday Mass at the age of 13, thanks to an elderly man sitting on his own in the pew at the back of this church. I was getting so excited and saying to Nuala, "This is the church where blah blah." And he got up and he came over to us and he said in his accented German, "I heard what you are saying about Beethoven. You are in the wrong church." Thanks to him, I know now that the church where all that happened burned down 200 years ago. But he said they have the presence of mind to save the font that Beethoven was baptized in. And I said to him, "The font, where is it? Over there. And it was the actual font that Beethoven was baptized in on the 17th of December 1770, was rescued in the fire, and is in this church today, which has the same name as the old church. It was only built after the war, And in my book, I would have happily have published the photo of the wrong church and no font. As it is, I have the right church and the right font. And that was only one of the coincidences that happened. The one I really still, we've been talking here at the table with Jacqueline and Harry about coincidences and how in life they really do happen. And here is how the biggest coincidence happened concerning this book, and I hope I can get the story in without running out of time and upsetting Harry and his timer. It begins about 25 years or so ago, and I was invited to give a Beethoven talk at the Hurlingham Club in West London, and I told the story of how Beethoven had a pupil by the name of Giulietta Guicciardi, with whom he fell in love. He decided to propose marriage to her, and he would compose a piano sonata and dedicate it to her to encourage her to accept his proposal. Anyway, he writes this piano sonata, which was published under the title Sonata Quasi Una Fantasia. And he presented it to her, he proposed marriage to her, she thanked him for the sonata and turned him down. This sonata was published as the Sonata Quasi Una Fantasia, but we know it under a slightly different title. It is the most famous piano sonata ever written by Beethoven or any other composer in the history of the world. It is the... Exactly, the Moonlight Sonata. And my pianist then played the opening of the Moonlight Sonata. And at the end of my talk, a lady came up to me while I was signing books, very tall, very handsome looking, looked down at me slightly as she spoke, and I detected the slightest foreign accent in her voice. She said, "I was very interested in the story you told about Giulietta Guicciardi and the Moonlight Sonata." I said, "Oh, yes." She said, "Did you know that after she turned down his proposal of marriage, she married a musician by the name of Count Gallenberg?" I said, "Actually, I didn't know that, yes." She said, "Did you know that they went to live in Italy?" I said, "Yes, I knew that too." She said, "Did you know that Gallenberg was impotent?" I said, "No, tell me more." She said, "Well, Gallenberg was impotent. And because he was impotent, he allowed Giulietta to take a lover by the name of Count von Schulenburg. With Count von Schulenburg, Giulietta had 5 illegitimate children, a son and 4 daughters. And I," she said, "am the great-great-granddaughter of the illegitimate son of the woman to whom Beethoven dedicated the Moonlight Sonata and turned down his proposal." I lit up and I hugged her. I said, "That's amazing. That's incredible. That's incredible." And she said, "I am Austrian. I've been in this country since before the war. I translated for the British during the war. We have, my family seat is an hour and a half outside Vienna. It is a castle called Schloss Breiteneich, which means Castle Broad Oak. I would love to invite you and your wife to come and stay with us. We put on musical performances, particularly of Beethoven, because of the connection to Giulietta Guicciardi and the Moonlight. You can even give a little talk about it. For some reason, we were both working full time. It never happened. And last February, in our flat in Dartmouth, I was writing the last chapter of this book, which, if you'll forgive the quick diversion, contains new evidence that was published last year as a result of the successful sequencing of Beethoven's genome, so that we know now more about his ancestry than we've ever known before. And I would love to tell you more, but I'll keep it here till midnight. It's in the book. But I was writing this thinking to myself, what a great final chapter. It brings the story right up to date, when ping, into my inbox dropped an email from a name I didn't recognize. And it was from a gentleman in Vienna, and he said, "You don't know my name, but you do know the name of Pia Chelwood." That was the lady who had spoken to me at the Hurlingham Club. She was married, you may remember, the Tory MP, Sir Tufton Bufton, going back a bit, who was elevated to the House of Lords as Lord Chelwood. So she was Pia Chelwood. He died in 1989. And her maiden name is von Rohetz, one of the most distinguished highborn families in Austria. And he said in this email, "My wife and I live in Schloss Breiteneich, where Pia was born and brought up, and my wife is Pia's niece, so my wife is the great-great-great-granddaughter, etc., etc., etc. We would love to invite you and your wife to come to our castle, And Nuala and I went. At the end of June this year, my publisher said, it's too late, the book will have gone to the... I said, you've got to hold up the book. There's going to be a last chapter in this book that will blow you away. It's going to be all about... Did it ever? All I expected to achieve was to meet the great-great-great-granddaughter. Her husband said to me, I've organised a lunch in your honour, which embarrassed me and honoured me, with some names you might recognise. There will be a Waldstein. There will be a Lichnowsky. There will be Princess Metternich. These are all names known to Beethoven. The Waldstein piano sonata you will have in your collection. Lichnowsky was his first great patron in Vienna. Metternich was the Iron Chancellor under whose rule Beethoven lived. And at this lunch, I was speaking to a voluble lady on my right here who told me that her husband, who was on her other side, was formerly the Austrian ambassador to Ireland, Dublin. Nuala, born in Dublin, was sitting next to him. They were getting on like a house on fire. And I thought, that's why they're here. And I said to her, but there are Beethoven connections here. There is a Waldstein. She said, yeah, that's me. I said, there is a Lichnowsky. That's me too, she said. They were all intermarried and interbred. There was another Waldstein here. Princess Metternich was there. And I said to her, may I take your photograph after? She said, of course. And after the lunch, I lined up these people with names known to Beethoven and took a photograph. And although I say it myself, I've said it in the book, this is a unique photograph. If Beethoven was here, he would know their families, each one. And what a moment that was to bring Beethoven's story right up to date. And I know I'm running out of time, but I've got to finish, as I began, with a joke. There are not too many Beethoven jokes. And one of the worst experiences I have ever had, worse even than following Kathy Lett, I was invited to give an after-dinner talk about Beethoven to the Christmas dinner of a firm of solicitors in Brighton. And somehow I knew I should say no, but I said yes. And the organiser said, we're not going to tell them what the talk's about so you can really surprise them. I thought, oh my God, how's this going to go down? At the dinner, I was at one of the tables and the chap next to me recognised me off the telly and he said, oh boy, you're going to make us laugh a bit. You've got a story or two to tell. Whatever, all the things that go wrong in the studio, and, oh, we're going to be in stitches. I sat there thinking, Beethoven, can I rethink this quickly and tell a story about ITN? No, because there's a piano over there that my pianist is going to go and sit at and play. So I sat there thinking, how is this going to go? So when I got up to talk, I thought I'd better start with a Beethoven joke. And I only, in all the years I've been doing Beethoven talks, and all the people who have come up to me to tell me their Beethoven joke, I've only ever collected two. One is the really feeble one about the rumbling noise in the churchyard is Beethoven decomposing. Yeah, very funny. The second one, which is marginally better, is Beethoven's wife gets absolutely fed up with him and says, you're a moody bugger, I'm sick to death of you. You're angry, you're never nice, you can't hear a bloody word I say, I've had enough, I'm leaving you. And Beethoven says, leaving me? You can't, you are my inspiration. And she says, me, your inspiration? Don't make me laugh. Okay, so I told those to kind of kick the talk off. And at the end of the talk, which went down like a lead balloon, as you can imagine, a group of chaps came over to me while I was signing. And they said, sure, that was a really good talk you've just given. Actually, we didn't hear a word of it. Because right at the beginning, you said, I've only ever collected two Beethoven jokes. And we thought, right, we're going to see if we can come up with a third. And we have. He said, here is our brand new Beethoven joke. Beethoven goes into a newsagent's and buys a lottery ticket. And the newsagent says to him, blimey, if you win, you're going to make a packet this week, because this week it's a rollover, Beethoven. It's not gynecological, but it's not bad, is it? Thank you.